So now to SB 1070, that controversial immigration law in the state of Arizona is expected to go into effect tomorrow unless a federal judge puts a stop to it. There are a number of legal challenges to the SB 1070 law, which allows law enforcement to round up people on suspicion that they are undocumented immigrants and basically take them into custody or deport them. But basically, the law changes the way law enforcement deals with undocumented immigrants and has attracted controversy for that reason. And we've already seen reports of people taking steps inside Arizona to defend themselves or to deal with their fear of being prosecuted and having their lives changed. But there are lifelines that stretch from Arizona across the border into Mexico, which are also on pins and needles, affected by the possibility of this law going into effect. Joining us now is Inma Gil Rosendo, Mexico correspondent for the BBC World Service based in Mexico City. Good morning, Inma.
Good morning, John.
Tell us the perspective of a town that you visited. I believe the name is Loma Buena Vista.
That's right, yes. It's Loma de Buena Vista, and this is a small rural town in the central state of Guanajuato. This is a very poor area, and it's heavily, if not almost entirely, dependent on the remittances that are sent from Arizona. Officials say about 85% of the economy of this town are actually dependent on that money flow coming from the U.S.,
And we should remind people that those remittances are basically the income that these individuals get when they cross the border and work in the United States, and that money gets sent back home, and in this particular case constitutes 85% of the economy of this town.
That's right, and most of the migrants from this town are actually illegally. They don't have papers when they cross to Arizona. 60% of the town's original population are thought to have migrated to Arizona. And migration works quite often in clusters, so many people from the same town, in this case from Loma de Buena Vista, have moved to Arizona. They live in cities like Tucson, Phoenix, or Mesa.
All right. Inma Gil, explain to me the voice of Evelia Cardenas, who depends on her husband's remittances, is basically an example of precisely what you're talking about. I suspect she would know exactly what you mean when you use the letters and numbers SB 1070. Listen.
With this new law, we don't know what can happen. And since he was deported once in the past, he could be imprisoned for a long time.
Inma Gil. Inma Gil, who is she referring to there?
Well, Evelia Cardenas, her husband crossed illegally to Arizona about 2 years ago, and that was just a few months after they got married. After that date, he tried, during several months, he tried to find a job in the local town, but because he couldn't, and we have to mention here that there is an percentage of unemployment higher than 30%. So because he couldn't find a job, he tried crossing to the United States. And he has been living and working since in Arizona. And every now and then he sends money back to Evelia. Evelia lives in this poor town with her stepdaughter. They both live in her in-law's house, but with the money that her husband is sending from the U.S., they are trying to build a dream, which is building their own house. And now that dream is in jeopardy. She's very worried that her husband might be arrested and perhaps kept in custody for a long time. And if that happens, then they don't have any other income to live on.
All right. Let's listen to another voice from Loma Buena Vista, the town that you visited, which is very, very concerned about the lifelines going, sort of ending for a community that is so dependent on worker income from Arizona after the implementation of SB 1070. Here is Rosa Casas.
Yes, I'm worried they might not find work because of that law. They need to work to be able to send us the money we need for food.
Now, you described a moment ago, Inma Gil, that this is a dream that these people are setting up, that their husbands go off or heads of household go off to get money and they send it back and they build their own house. A lot of Americans would view that dream as like, well, hey, sorry, you can't have your little dream if you're going to illegally immigrate into the United States. How do people feel about that sort of sentiment?
Well, at this particular town, they feel they have a bit of resentment because they say their families, their relatives, go to the United States with no intention whatsoever to steal or to bother anyone. Their main priority is to find a job and to grow there so that they can send some money back to their families. So they think they are being unfairly judged, and they fear that they might lose their jobs. They might have to start all over again in a different state, or that they might be arrested and deported. Basically, they are more worried about their daily subsistence, if you want, rather than the law, the details of the law. They're
sure.
just concerned about their daily needs.
Well, finally, in McGill Rosendo, you're based in Mexico City, and this law, if it goes into effect tomorrow, do you think it's likely to fuel instability in rural communities? I mean, Mexico is already in the midst of a drug war, and economic instability in places that are so dependent upon remittances. Are the authorities offering anything to these communities to mitigate the sting?
Well, authorities have various plans to try and help communities. Or even migrants that do decide to come back, try to help them establish themselves back in Mexico. They have a number of measures, but in communities like this one, they do fear that there might be a massive return of people because they wouldn't have the infrastructure to help them. Like I said earlier on, there's higher unemployment of 30%, and they don't have the capacity to
right.
create new jobs. But mostly people are just a bit waiting to see what happens, and they rather pray than fight. At the moment, they're quite expectant just to see what happens.
Well, praying and waiting, that's taking place on both sides of the border there. The view from Loma Buena Vista, a little town very much dependent on income from remittances in the United States, thinking about what's going to happen if SB 1070 goes into effect as it's scheduled to do tomorrow. In McGill Rosendo, thanks so much.
Thank you.
In McGill Rosendo is a Mexico correspondent for the BBC World Service, speaking to us from Mexico City.
We're going to be following how life is changing in Arizona and Mexico because of this law, and you can give us your story for Arizona listeners, especially give us a call at 778-MY-TAKE. Let us know what changes, if anything, after the law goes into effect tomorrow. And keep an eye out on the news all day by heading over to our site. Producers actually blog about the stories we're following. That's at thetakeaway.org. You can also get a head start on the next day's show by texting us. Send the word start to 69866. Well, one of the things we've been talking about all morning is this connection. The study a bit looked at race and athletics. Is there validity behind stereotypes that blacks are better runners and whites are better swimmers? And is it even racist to ask the question? For more about the study, go over to our site, thetakeaway.org. That's where Matt wrote us. I'm worried about any definition of race that goes beyond the social realm, as biological studies such as this would hope to do in their conclusions. That is, black does not suggest much about shared biology other than skin. Especially here in the U.S., where there's been so much racial mixing, it seems erroneous to assume blacks would vary significantly from whites, when the line is a lot more blurry than our eyes might fool us into thinking. So who counts as black and who is white? Obviously, science is influential to how we think about race, so it would worry me to think that some study like this would add to harmful stereotypes. Very thoughtful comments.
Interesting stuff. DE from Brooklyn says, what we're really talking about are differences in structure and mechanics and laws of physics. The act of running is done more efficiently by bodies with proportionately longer legs and arms and shorter torsos. That's a pretty good encapsulation of the study. Go to it at thetakeaway.org and find out and join the conversation. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.